Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbach. We're coming to you from the iconic Herb's House, Dallas, Texas. We've got a great study in store, Kent.
I need it, Steve.
Yeah, I need it too. Big time, big time. So we are in John 17, verse 1. Kent's already got his Bible turned to it. And the title of this is Glorifying God. And so I want to begin by reading this. And maybe let me just set this up. This begins the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it really underscores the importance of prayer. Even Jesus, in the days of his humiliation, was dependent upon the Father through prayer. And he now comes to the climax of his life before he goes to the cross. And he obviously, in this great hour, looks up to the Father in prayer. And he wants to glorify the Father. So we pick it up in verse 1. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Kent, this is a dramatic moment in redemptive history and in the life of Christ. As he now is under the shadow of the cross, he is approaching the cross, and the weight of his sin-bearing death is just immediately before him, and it really drives him to his knees. And I know that we can relate to great pressures in our life, bring us low before the Lord in humble prayer, and that's where Christ is in his humanity. And what is chief on his heart and mind is that he would glorify the Father. So we read that Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. And Kent, it's worth noting here that everything is on schedule. There's a divine timeline for the life of Christ. There's an appointed time when he will die that has been foreordained by the Father from before the foundation of the world. So this is not a random time, but this has been marked out from really before time began. And Jesus is aware of where he is on this time schedule. And he says, Father, glorify your Son. And when he says glorify your Son, he's asking now that the Father will bring to pass the eternal plan of redemption that is now to be consummated, and that the Father will grant him glory through his death, his resurrection, through his ascension, and through his enthronement that is just days, really weeks in front of him. And it will be upon his enthronement at the right hand of the Father on the other side of the cross that the Father will glorify the Son, and all heaven will lift up its anthem of praise to the Son for his perfect obedience to the Father. But there's a purpose for this. And he says at the end of verse 1, Kent, that the Son may glorify you. Christ is doing this for the greater purpose of bringing glory to the Father, that the Father's plan and the Father's purpose for the redemption of the souls of men, whom the Father has chosen before time began, will now be brought to pass, and that heaven will be filled with believers who have been redeemed by the blood of the Son. And so the Father will be glorified in the exaltation of the Son. And I think of Philippians 2, 10 and 11, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, that the Father will be glorified in the exaltation of the Son. And so all of this is in anticipation as Jesus approaches the cross. He will die the next day. There is a certainty within the heart of the Son that the Father is in total control over all of the circumstances and over all of the events that are transpiring, even the enemies of God that are rising up now to crucify the Son. It will all be a means by which the Son and the Father will be glorified. So, Kent, this is a profound passage of Scripture, and it really points to how everything that we do must aim at glorifying God. And that was really the direction and the focus of God the Son. So what have you got for us, Kent?
Well, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
And one of my first thoughts, and I think questions I'd like to discuss with you on this is that we know that Jesus was fully God and fully man.
Yeah.
And that's hard for us to understand that.
Yeah.
However, this was difficult for Jesus to speak these words because of his humanity, wasn't it?
Right.
Speak about that, because we have, here's what, number one, I don't think we realize this wasn't just, he wasn't just skating through this.
Yeah, right.
This was monumental in his life, the biggest thing ever in his life.
Right.
Facing probably something in his humanity he didn't want to do.
Yes, that is absolutely right, Kent. And we could just go to the next chapter when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. And he is sweating drops of blood, as Matthew and Luke bring out in their gospel accounts, that the extreme pressure of this moment that was bearing down upon the Lord Jesus Christ really just crushed him and drove him to his knees. And you remember, he had to pray, not my will, but your will be done. But that was not an easy prayer for him to offer. And here he feels the weight of this moment. And it really also speaks to how he's a sympathetic high priest, that when we come to him in prayer, he experientially knows what it is to walk through this world and to feel the enormity of the pressure at times of the will of God upon him. And when we find ourselves in those difficult times and we go to the Father in prayer and we pray in the name of Jesus, he is able to represent us before the Father in a very unique way, that in his sinless humanity, he felt what we feel, and he can still feel what we feel as a sympathetic high priest. So this is a very significant moment, Kent, for Jesus to be lifting up his eyes to heaven. And it really reflects his humility and his humble posture under the authority of the Father as he lifts up his eyes to heaven.
So I guess a lot of application, but can we look at this when we have tremendous difficulties in our lives and say, I don't feel it, I don't like it, but I have to give this to the Lord and hope he's glorified through this and point that way?
Yes, that's a really good insight.
I mean, is that?
Yeah, that we want God to be glorified,
even though we don't feel,
through our trials, through our difficulties, and through our adversity. And I would say many times he is most glorified as we trust him through those difficult moments and hours of our lives. I mean, there's a sense in which anybody could be a Christian when the sun is shining and all the blessings are just showering down upon us. But when we find ourselves in the valley and it's dark and it's difficult, and we lift up our eyes to the Lord and turn to him and say, Father, I want you to be glorified through me, through this, that's very significant. And so Christ really is giving us an example for how we must live our Christian lives. So, Ken, anything else?
Well, just to bring it more, I've got a good friend who his son all of a sudden shows up in the hospital for no unexplained reason on his deathbed.
Yeah.
And the man's a Christian.
Yeah. You were telling me about him yesterday.
And the man said to me, the Lord has him where he wants him. And that's
to say that about your son,
yeah,
who is married with a child, and,
yeah,
and all of a sudden he's on his deathbed. That's how do, only a believer can say that.
Absolutely. Even a deathbed situation, we can say, is a divine appointment. Mm-hmm. And God gives a greater grace mm-hmm. in those moments and in those hours, which are most stretching and really soul-crushing. Those are opportunities for us to acknowledge, like you said, that God has us right where he wants us.
And this was the Lord's death.
Yeah.
He was facing.
Yeah. A death far beyond any of us can even comprehend as he died in yeah. our place, mm-hmm. bearing our sins. Well, I just want to thank you for joining us for this Steadfast Hope. I know that this speaks to you right where you are, because none of us go through life without difficulties and trials. And just know, even as Christ was in a similar place, though far greater, it was an opportunity for him to glorify God with his humble submission and his dependence upon the Father in prayer. May you glorify God in the midst of the storms that blow into your life. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.